It's got an Irish lilt.
It's actually Scottish.
Scottish,
A traditional Scottish tune.
Gee, I could get into trouble for that. It's great to be worshipping with you. I was enjoying our worship here. Today I'm thinking, and I thought as preparation, about hearing God's call. I'm here preaching to you this morning because I heard God's call. I was in the second semester of my first year at university studying for a science degree, but I became uncertain as to where I was heading, what I was studying for, and what I should be doing with my life. So I asked God to make clear to me what I should be doing. And it was late one night, I received from God a call to become a minister. I didn't hear a voice. In fact, it's very hard to explain or even to understand what happened, but I just knew. I guess it was God's spirit witnessing to my spirit in answer to my prayer, what I should be doing. And I was convinced that was what God was calling me to do. I went to a theological student that was studying in the college where I stayed, and late at night, he was still studying, I think, and we talked about it. So that point in my life, I got a clear direction from God. God called me. But it was another 7 years before I candidated for ministry. And it was over 10 years after studying that I commenced ministry. So it wasn't as if I heard the call and it happened the next day. I think God had a lot of work to do with me. I was only a young man. He had a lot to teach me about life. And so sent me out in my preparation for ministry. But I know, and I have through the years, I know that God has called me. God has called me to this work. I experienced the call of God, even though I can't explain it clearly. I know in my spirit that was God's call on my life. Everyone's experience of God's call is unique and personal. Seldom it comes out of the blue. For few people it does. See, I grew up in the church and was always interested in the Bible and thinking about God. When I told my mother, who was a Methodist minister's daughter, that I believed God was calling me into ministry, she said she wasn't surprised. Now, I was, but, you know, mums are like that. They seem to know things that you don't even know about yourself. That was her response. She said, "I'm not surprised." God prepares us for whatever God is calling us to do for God. When Samuel heard God's calling, he was already apprenticed to Eli the priest in the temple at Shiloh. His mother, if you remember the story, his mother had dedicated him to the Lord because she was found in the temple one year on their visit weeping. And Eli said, "What are you doing drunk at this early hour in the morning?" She says, "I'm not drunk. I'm deeply distressed because I can't have a child." He gave her the blessing. She had a child, Samuel. And she dedicated Samuel, she sent him as a young man to Eli to be apprenticed as a priest. God had prepared the way for Samuel to first hear and then respond to God's call. Although, as the scripture said, at that point he didn't really know God. He didn't know that God was calling him, but he was prepared because of his environment that he had grown up in, because of his mother's dedication, because of the teaching of Eli. God's call comes to us in many different ways. And I thought it would be great to spend time hearing how God has called people to the work that they've done over the years, just to be part of a Christian fellowship. Every call is different. As I said, the call to each is unique, and the call to each of us is very personal. It's a spiritual experience that is often hard to describe. Samuel at first assumed that Eli was calling him. And for many, God's call can come to us through other people. That may have been your experience. It is seldom as dramatic as Samuel's call. It may be as simple as being asked to undertake a particular job. And I must confess, when I was thinking about this, I thought, as I think I've said before, I'm the senior chaplain with disaster response, and we may need to respond this coming week. I am that because Dale here and Jeff Cookle, who were leading the team, came to me and said, would you take this position? And I believe that was God's call to me into this particular work. And it often happens that way. It may be as simple as being asked to do a particular job. It could be that you see a need and God prompts you to respond. God's call comes in very many ways. In many and various ways, God works to fulfill God's purposes. After Christmas in January, in the cycle of readings, it's usual to hear of Jesus calling his disciples. And you're probably most familiar, as I am, with the accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel, where Jesus calls the fishermen, Peter and Andrew, James and John, on the shores of Lake Galilee. Talking about old songs, who remembers, I will make you fishers of men? That's a familiar song, comes from the Sunday school. And I used to love the actions about that. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me, if you follow me. Today we hear from John's gospel. Matthew and Luke begin their accounts of Jesus' life with his birth to Mary in Bethlehem. John begins the gospel with a prologue where he introduces Jesus as the divine word who was with God and who was God in the beginning and became a human being and lived among us. So where Matthew and Luke start with his Jesus' human origins, John starts with his divine origins with God from the beginning. The gospel in chapter 1 then introduces John the Baptist. As an adult, Jesus comes to John and he's baptized by John. John says to two of his disciples, when he sees Jesus the next day, it says, look, here is the Lamb of God. So John is pointing to Jesus as the Lamb of God. And those disciples leave John and follow Jesus. They ask him this question, where are you staying? And Jesus replies, come and see. Now in John's gospel, the question, where are you staying, means more like, doesn't mean like, where's your current address? Where are you sleeping tonight or whatever? For me, there's a common question, if you want to know a person more, and it is, where are you from? Now, in John's gospel, you put it in the context, John has just written about Jesus being from God. So really the question is, who are you really? You know, where are you from? You know, what's your identity? And that's the question we might ask if we want to know somebody more. And that was really what the disciples, these two disciples were asking Jesus. Who are you really? What is your identity? How come you're here with us? John's gospel in that question echoes the prologue, for Jesus is from God and is staying with us, dwelling with us. That's where he is. He's with us, but he's from God. This great truth about the nature of Jesus, his identity. He is God with us. Jesus' call to these two disciples is, come and see. Come and see. It is a call to follow Jesus and find out who he truly is. Jesus' call to all people is to get to know him. Get to know who he truly is. Not just a name or an historical figure. He is God with us. We are called into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This is the wonderful thing about God's call to us. We are called into relationship with God through Jesus, the divine word who has lived among us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah indeed. And lives forever now with the Father in heaven and invites us into that relationship through him with God. John's Gospel tells us that one of these followers of John, the Baptist, who left to follow Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. This is a bit of the Gospel that I hadn't really explored before. I was quite fascinated to read about this, think about it. So Andrew brought Simon to Jesus, it says. Jesus gave Simon the name Kephas, which means the rock, or Peter from the Greek. So God's call to Peter came to become a disciple from Jesus came through his brother Andrew. It's often through families that God calls people to follow Jesus. Through our witness to our families, God can call people. Well, it was the way in my case, I guess, because of my family, probably because of my grandfather, that a dad who was from an Anglican tradition, when he married Mum, sort of fell into the tradition, and I grew up in the church because it took me to church from a young time. But it can be in many ways in which families witness to others and they hear God's call. The passage from John's Gospel we hear today tells us what happened next. Jesus goes to Galilee. After his baptism by John in the Jordan, he goes back to Galilee, where he'd grown up. He was returning to home. It would be the region of his early ministry. In Galilee, he calls Philip to follow him. John tells us that Philip is from Bethsaida, where Andrew and Peter also come from, and it's on the Sea of Galilee. So according to the other Gospels, this is where they gathered to follow Jesus. You know, the familiar story of the fishermen on the shore. Philip becomes one of the 12 disciples with Andrew and Peter, James and John. Through Philip, God calls Nathanael to follow Jesus. We can assume that Philip and Nathanael were friends, and that's another way, through friends, we can hear God's call upon our lives. Friendship evangelism, I believe, is one of the most powerful ways in which the gospel is spread. A simple invitation to know more about Jesus can be God's call on another's life. It could be an invitation to worship, or to a home group, or even to a church activity. Through those sorts of invitations, God's call can go out to another. From Jesus' conversation with Nathanael, we learn that Nathanael is a devout Israelite. Again, God had been preparing the way. He knew all about Moses. He'd studied what we now call the Old Testament. He knew of God's dealings with people in the past. So Philip invites Nathanael to come and see the one whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote about, the Messiah that was expected. To come and see Jesus, the son of Joseph, from Nazareth. Again, God had been preparing Nathanael to hear and respond to God's call to follow Jesus. Interesting about Nathanael, in John chapter 21, it tells us that after Jesus' resurrection, when he appears to the disciples, they're on the beach, they're having breakfast, they catch some fish, and listed among those who are present is Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. That's what the gospel tells us. So Nathanael's from Cana. Jesus is from Nazareth. Now they're quite close, not very far apart. And for me, this could explain Nathanael's response. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Maybe there was a bit of town rivalry there. When I came to Darwin, I remember I learned about the Barama line. And anybody south of the Barama line sort of thinks, can anything good come out of Darwin? And that sort of prejudice exists all over. It's interesting. Can anything good come out of Humpty Doo? Yes, yes. So that was Nathaniel's response. There was some resistance because of his own prejudices. Philip's response to Nathaniel's resistance is the invitation to come and see. Now I know that good things come out of Humpty Doo, good things come out of Darwin, good things come out of everywhere. Good things come out of the dark, as Roz was saying. The response, when we get that resistance, I don't want to know about God, I don't want to know about Jesus. Come and see. Why don't you... There's this song that came to me from the 70s by a Christian singer-songwriter, Larry Norman. Why don't you look into Jesus? He's got the answer. It was a great song that I heard as a young man. Why don't you look into Jesus? He's got the answer. So when people have resistance to God, say, look into Jesus. Maybe read the Bible, or come to church, do something. Look into Jesus, because he has the answer. He is the one that God has sent. And that's the way people hear God's call. There are many ways in which God calls people to follow Jesus. Sometimes God acts independently of another person, as he did with Samuel. Often it is through the witness of another that someone hears God's call, as we have read in and heard in John's Gospel. If we want to hear God's call, the words of Samuel make a great prayer. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Amen.